scared of needles from the day that I knew, you know, what a needle was. And I said to the doctor, oh, is there anybody that can please, that I can go to and they can give me the needle or can come to the house, please? I'm telling you. I'm like, I can't do the needle. And she's like, no, it's a small needle, but, you know, you can't go to anywhere. You have to give it to yourself or maybe a spouse or somebody. I said, I don't have anyone. I live by myself. And she says, well, the nurse will, you know, show you how to do it. And I mean, and before you go, she would demonstrate to you. And every time that they were coming in there, I was closing my eyes and, you know, letting them give me the insulin. And I thought it was just for the hospital. And they said, no, you have to do it yourself. I realized at that moment that instead of me being fearful of these needles, I better love the needle because now needles are going to be my life.
God is winking, friends. It is not by chance, nor is it a coincidence, that you are listening to High Heels, High Hopes podcast on the America Out Loud Network. This is Kelly Murphy, your passionate host, gifting you with a human interest story that is sure to inspire your spirit. Give up, give in, or give it your all. It is all your choice. Welcome to the High Heels, High Hopes podcast. This is your host, Kelly Murphy, and I am so excited to have our guest today, who I met back in 2013, and here we are 3 years later. And I reached out to her because obviously I'm excited to speak with people who have a story, who are passionate, who are living life empowered and encouraged and passionate with energy and what I call her is Life Plus. And, you know, the funny thing is I went into this asking her to join me and I hear her giggling already. Sure, she's so energetic and exciting that I thought my intention was going to be that we were going to talk about passion and encouragement and empowerment. And suddenly our conversation turned in a completely and utterly different direction. And so I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Dr. Stem.
Hey.
Hello, Dr. Stem. Life Plus.
Hello.
Passion. Thank you for joining us today. You know, I'm so excited to have you here because obviously as a motivational speaker, you speak with teens and parents and you're all about women empowerment and encouraging people. You're the author of several books. I think I counted seven. Is that correct?
24.
Oh my, I wasn't even close. 24 books. Oh my goodness. Now you all know she's Life Plus. Boy, I tell you, she is a TV host, a radio host. She does seminars. She does webinars. She does it all. This licensed psychotherapist is out there changing the world one person, one story at a time. And so I'm excited to have you here on our podcast to give people hope. And what's interesting is that when we spoke the other day, we're sharing stories where we've been the last 3 years. And you shared with me kind of your journey and where you are currently. And you were going through some life changes and you took the plunge and fearlessly made some changes. You moved from up north, perfect timing, by the way, back down down to Florida. And so share with us, and congratulations, by the way, share with us your journey from what made you decide to move from up north down to Tampa, Florida, or actually Orlando, Maitland, Florida. Is that where you are?
I actually am in Orlando. I live in the Lake Nona area in Orlando, Florida.
Excellent. And so how did you know, one of the things when I speak with people about passion, it's all about discovering your purpose, your life purpose, and just being fearless and facing your fears and making these big shifts. How was it that you made that big move?
Oh, you know what? Let me tell you something about, you know, what I do, the work that I do. I think that's what drives me to be fearless and to make the decisions that I make in life. As a licensed psychotherapist, as you said, I'm also a life coach and career coach. What I do is to empower others to find their own passions, their own calling, but mostly to be fearless, to try and take risks in their life. So I believe believe in practicing what I preach.
I love that.
Because, you know, because I always feel like when I'm sitting there with someone or talking to someone on the phone, on Skype, or, you know, telephone, you know, coaching, what I'm doing is I'm opening myself to say, you know what, I can only share with you and help you with what I know, with what I have lived.
Absolutely.
And see, so then I work with teenagers, and teenagers are fearless today, as they, as you know. They're not afraid of anything. They take risks. They'll talk back to anyone. They'll, you know, they will goof up. But the thing that I have learned from working with the young people is that fearless nature, but that trusting nature, that, you know what's the worst thing that can happen to me if I take a chance? The most that can happen is I will have learned a lesson.
Absolutely.
So I was living in Boston, Massachusetts, and the whole world was saying she's doing well. And, you know, I mean, love the fact that, you know, she's in the Boston area. My family is over there. But for the last 8 years that I've been in Boston, Massachusetts, my heart, soul, and everything in me was in Orlando, Florida.
Wow. You know, I love that, because I talk a lot about heart. You know, sometimes we get so stuck in our head and what I should do, and I can't do this, and I shouldn't do that. And, and, you know, if we just take the time to shut the brain off and really listen to what our heart is telling us, it can lead us in so many different directions. And I love, too, that you speak about the fact that we cannot, as professionals, whatever we do in life, we can't bring people along unless we've experienced it ourselves.
Exactly.
You can't just read a book and then get in front of people and speak about it. You have to have experienced it and have the wisdom and the knowledge of the truth through your own experience. So I just love that you took that fearlessness. And so I imagine, was it stressful for you moving and picking up your life?
It was very stressful, because I owned a home in Massachusetts, and I also was living with my 73-year-old mother, who's so sweet. If you think I'm life plus, my mom is life plus, plus, plus.
Oh.
But because of who I am, I was afraid to tell her that, you know what, I'm finally going to go with my heart, sell this house and move, and take this drastic move to move where my heart and soul will be flying and open and happy and excited to be in the sun. But I cannot take another winter, one more winter, because then I need to follow my heart. I was afraid, and for probably 2-3 months, I didn't know how to start that conversation. And one day I woke up, went to the table where she was eating cereal, and I sat down and I looked at her. And I mean, even now when I talk about it, I have tears in my eyes. And I just started, you know, tears started flowing. I said, Mom, I'm selling the house. I'm going to Florida. And she looked at me. I'm telling you, if she was, you know, Caucasian, she would have been red. Like, it was like frozen moment, right? She was frozen. And my heart just sank for her, because all of a sudden she put the spoon down and didn't even finish the cereal. She's like, are you serious? You're going to sell the house, and you just bought the house, because I didn't have it for a year. So needless to say, she literally took a deep breath and said to me, you know what? You've always, always wanted to go back to Florida. You always talk about wanting to retire and live in Florida. So I know where your heart is.
I think
you need to do that. So that blessing alone, from then on, 2 weeks after that, my house was sold. I was packing stuff. I was moving trucks. I drove from Massachusetts to Virginia, which was about 5 hours, was it 3.5, 4 hours? I think it was, because I was stopping. But I went there, put my car on the auto train.
Wow.
Sat on the train, and then, you know, I got myself here. I found an apartment. I'm living in an apartment. I found it online. I just went online, called the people. And you know what? When you're ready, and the universe and God is ready for you to move and shift, things happen so nice
they
and
do.
Smooth.
Yeah. I did a podcast recently that we're not, and Susan Casey said, we're not like salmon. We're not meant to swim upstream. And when things are not, when we have to struggle and fight for things to happen, it just means it's not meant to be. And sometimes we have to just kind of shift a little bit. And I love that you're listening to your heart. And and another thing I just realized recently, I talk a lot about fear, and my business is called Fit and Fearless Living. And I thought the other day, you know, this is really kind of a stupid name. Fearless? No, we should not fear less. We should be more fearful, because fear is a part of everyday life. And I really truly believe that everything we want from our our life is on the other side of fear. So I applaud you for staring fear in the face as much as you knew it might hurt your mother, and but following your heart and your passions, and that's really what life is all about. And so you made this trek and this journey, and you stared fear in the face, and you found yourself in Orlando, and that's awesome. But something happened to you that you did not anticipate, and something that you did not expect. And isn't that the journey of life?
Of life. That is life indeed. I get myself here. I start to feel dizzy about 3-4 days after I was here. I start to feel dizzy. And as I'm feeling dizzy, my eyes are a little blurry, and I go, But then I was one person that if I drink a bottle of water a week, that was a lot.
Ooh,
that was a lot of water.
Don't
a week.
Say that to me.
You see? So, and it's adding up to, what happened. So then I get here and I start drinking like cases of water a day.
Wow.
And I thought, and I'm drinking 5-6, bottles of water a day. And in the middle of the night, I'm going to the bathroom and I still am thirsty and I'm dry. And I said, what is going on? So I went to a doctor, that I went to see here,
now,
fast doctors.
Can I ask you real quickly, how long did these symptoms go on before you made the decision to go see a doctor?
It was about 4 or 5 days. It was a week.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're better than me. I would be the person who just keeps drinking water and goes for a run, or, I for some reason, I never go to the doctor. So bravo to you. You went to a doctor 4 or 5 days into this.
I'll tell you why I went. It was the blurriness. When I couldn't see now, and I was, getting blurriness in my eyes and feeling blurry, it scared me, because then I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
So that's what, but the thirst, I thought, I'm now in the Sunshine State. Hey, that's what I wanted. So I'm just hot.
These Floridians must just be thirsty from all this heat.
And that's what I thought. That,
wow.
And it makes sense, right? That you're now in the sunshine. It's 80 degrees. You're sweating. So, and I had all this, bouts of sweat, that all of a sudden I would just get sweaty. And then I drink more water, but now my throat is dry. And I thought, I went there and they took my blood sugars through urine. And it was 230, blood sugars. So the doctor says, are you diabetic?
Which 230, put that into perspective for those of us who are a little bit ignorant to blood sugars.
Well, the thing about it, even myself, this is about 3 weeks ago that this happened. So, the 230 apparently is very high for normal sugars, which the normal sugars, according to, the numbers that I've gotten would be at least, if you're diabetic, she said about, 113 to, 130.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm 230.
Wow.
You see? So then that was high. So she says, no, you need to go and see a doctor, because then this is very concerning that you're not diabetic and you don't know about it, and yet your sugars are this high. So I say to the, I'll, apply for health insurance. And, this was in September. So when I did wait a couple of weeks, I was supposed to wait a couple of weeks, I woke up on a Sunday morning and started having, more sweating. And now, the eyes were more blurry. And the doctor had told me about, there's something, I think you're diabetic. So I say to myself, let me go into the hospital and get checked, because it's a Sunday. Let me go into the emergency room. So I went into the emergency room to get checked, because I was feeling again dizzy and more, thirsty with my drinking of the water. Now I was getting concerned, because I was running to Walmart 24 hours and getting, water. So I get there and the nurse again says, are you diabetic? And I said, no, I'm not diabetic. And she says, well, let's take, your blood test. And that blood test produced a number now that was 570.
Wow. So the time frame from when you first went to the doctor to now almost doubled your sugars. And what, a week? 2 weeks, you said?
It was now about a week.
Oh, my goodness.
It was now about a week.
What would have happened, Dr. Stem, had you ignored the dizziness, the extreme thirst, and the frequent urination, and all the symptoms that you were experiencing? What could potentially potentially have happened had you not gone to the doctor or to the emergency room?
The nurse literally looked at me and said, how did you get here? And I said, I drove. And she said, you drove yourself? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, if you had delayed, you would have gone into a diabetic coma.
What does that mean exactly?
And what that, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, what I heard was a coma. And when you get into a diabetic coma, you are in a coma. You are not responsive at that moment. And I live by myself and I'm in a new neighborhood. So that means all my friends, family would have called like normal. And they said, oh, Stam, she's busy. So, you know, let me call her later and try to call me later. But each second counts when you're in a diabetic coma. You need, that means your blood sugars are very, very low. And now I also have high blood pressure. And I'm still learning about the differences and what that means. But it's a new light for me. It's a new way of looking at this life plus.
Yeah. Well, I love that you say that. I'm curious. Upon getting the diagnosis, you know, what were your initial feelings? I mean, I hear you now saying, you know, this was a beneficial thing. But was your mindset there initially when you were diagnosed with this?
Oh, no, even now, the mindset, you know, you go back and forth. So when I went into the hospital and it was the 500, you know, over 500, they immediately told me that I couldn't go home. So I was kept in the hospital for 3 days. Wow. Now I'm on IVs and, you know, they're trying to level my sugars. And I'm looking around and going, wait a minute, I came here to start over. And I came here because this has been my dream to come and live back in Orlando, Florida, because I used to live here before. And what does this mean, you know, for me? So I sit there and I said, okay, you know what? I'm a stern, you know, Christian and a prayer warrior. I prayed, I didn't want to worry anybody else. I thought I would be a champion and be able to go through this until the third day when I was about to be released and the doctor came in and she was with the nurse and she says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you home with a needle and you're going to give yourself insulin.
Wow.
And I broke down. Mm. I was scared. I've been scared of needles from the day that I knew, you know, what a needle was. And I said to the doctor, oh, is there anybody that can please, that I can go to and they can give me the needle or can come to the house, please? I'm telling you. I'm like, I can't do the needle. And she's like, no, it's a small needle, but, you know, you can't go to anywhere. You have to give it to yourself or maybe a spouse or somebody. I said, I don't have anyone. I live by myself. And she says, well, the nurse will, you know, show you how to do it. And I mean, and before you go, she would demonstrate to you. And every time that they were coming in there, I was closing my eyes and, you know, letting them give me the insulin. And I thought it was just for the hospital. And they said, no, you have to do it yourself. I realized at that moment that instead of me being fearful of these needles, I better love the needle because now needles are going to be my life for a while or until, you know, I don't know how the treatment, you know, regimen is going to go. But I knew that I needed to think differently. Mm-hmm. I need to embrace the whole diagnosis and the place where I am in life. I needed to embrace that, that this is where I am, but I need to let everything else go and take care of myself. 24 books meant I was not sleeping. I was writing. It meant I was speaking. It meant I was doing everything else and juggling 24 hours as if I had, you know, 200 hours a day or something.
Absolutely.
I didn't take care of myself.
Well, you know, and I have a question. What was the onset for you in terms of your diagnosis? Was it just you weren't taking care of yourself? So what parts of self-care were you neglecting?
Exercise, for one. And it's interesting because, you know, when I look at myself and I look at everybody else, I'm like, oh, you know what? I look good. I'm not that obese, is what I used to say to myself. And no, there's a certain weight that, you know, for every height, every person has a certain weight that is ideal for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, our body mass and what, you know, makes up who we are, our bodies, it's different for each person. So apparently, according to my height, I am 5'5", and I'm 171. You know, I was 179. I've since lost some weight. Was obese for that, you know, height and weight for me. So then, you know, so that was it.
So and
then,
I'm glad you talk about that because, you know, Fit and Fearless, for people who know a little bit about my business, it's not really about fitness and having a skinny, thin, cute booty and abs and all of that for me. It's really about your health and your wellness. And, and people think of exercise as all about, you know, getting abs and having a tight booty. But there are so many more benefits to exercise that I really, I'm glad that you spoke about that. So exercise was one.
And eating.
Okay, look at this diet. How was your what was your diet like?
Mine fluctuated. I didn't have a stable diet where now, I mean, I have to eat, you know, I do 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, like on the dot to eat something, but small portions of meals, not too much, you know, grease and sugars. I've cut down, you know, on the sugar. I actually drink my coffee black with nothing in it, and it didn't bother me at all because then my health was at stake. So I needed to change everything that I was doing and drinking. I mean, I used to drink soda, you know, like 2, 3, 4 cans of soda a day.
Wow.
And I used to drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I would drink a big, you know, cup of coffee and then have another one in the afternoon if I'm starting to feel tired. So now it makes sense because I used to take, you know, to drink all the energy drinks and coffees because I was feeling tired all the time.
Which is very common in America. We do that. You know, we're making Starbucks rich. We get tired in the middle of the afternoon and boy, we go straight for the coffee and we load it up with as much sugar as we can because it tastes so delicious. I'm guilty.
And that's what caught up with me. And I never, I mean, I went to the doctors once a year for the last, you know, how many years? I'm 51 now. I went to the doctors once a year and I was so excited and so happy. And whenever I saw my doctor, I would say, "Hey, doc, I don't want to see you again until next year. Have a good life. I'll see you." And it was exciting. And because that meant I was in good health because everything was testing okay. It was checking okay. But what I didn't understand is, you know what? It's not good to just do it that once a year and then go back in once. You have to have more frequent checks, especially if you're one that is drinking all these coffees and, you know, feeling tired sometimes and stress. I'm telling you, stress.
Yes. And stress will cause the onset of this as well. And so talk more about that.
So, you know, I mean, stress is, I do stress management, you know, classes and coaching and counseling as well. And I always was the one to be a champion to say stress causes medical problems that a lot of people do not associate with stress. And, you know, diabetes is one of them that is caused by, you know, high levels of stress. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, talking about that, let me just give you some of the symptoms of diabetes because, you know, coming this November is what I'm understanding is Diabetic Awareness Month.
It is.
So the reason why we're not talking about passion or anything, which we will at some point, is we want to talk about, you know, taking care of yourself, your health. And some of the symptoms for diabetics are, as I said, urinating often, you know, like going to the bathroom. You start to go more often to the bathroom. Losing weight. Some people have, you know, they lose weight drastically. I did. And I didn't realize that I had, you know, that I had lost weight. When I got here, I started taking some selfies. And when I took those selfies, you could tell with my neck, I looked thin and skinny. And it scared me when I looked at them and sent them to my family. And I said, ooh, I didn't realize that I lost this much weight. And I undermined it because I was exercising in Boston before I came here about 2-3 months. I was walking diligently every day. And I said,
it's working.
I didn't know that that was one of the signs and symptoms of, you know, indicating that I was diabetic. And then being thirsty, as I said, you start to drink a lot of water.
Yeah. And now you had mentioned the vision changes too, because that was something, the blurriness
and then wounds that don't heal. Some people will have wounds and some people will have numbness in their, you know, hands and feet. I was having the numbness and tingling of my feet and the hands and, you know, about probably 4 or 5 months before that, it would come and go, but I didn't think anything about it. And you know, I would really be numb. I didn't think anything about, but you know what, knowing what I know now, if you're feeling any of that where, you know, you're feeling the numbness, the, you know, and the tingling of the arms or your, you know, your, legs go to sleep, as we always say, oh, my legs are going to sleep, I don't know what's going on, then it's an indication that you need to, you know, call a physician or go in and get checked your blood levels. Wow. And then being tired all the time. If you're drinking the big gulps of, you know, energy drinks a day, or you can't go without an energy drink, which now, thank you, Jesus, I don't take any of that at all, because now I am so aware of mm-hmm. what, you know, that does to my body.
Oh, gosh. Awareness is so critical. I talk yes. about this all the time. You know, I love McDonald's and I love donuts and I love all that stuff. But what I don't love is how I feel afterward.
Yes.
And that's an awareness thing. Some of us are just yeah. so busy and we're going from one thing to the next thing. We don't even really feel how we're feeling. We're not aware that we are always tired, yes. tired, just not feeling great.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Getting better and dealing with this is obviously changing your diet and exercise and you're taking the shots. What else is a part of your treatment?
Oh, I'm so relaxed. I go to bed early.
We should be doing this anyway, but now you have an excuse to.
I go to bed early. I literally go through, because every night before I go to bed, I usually will write what I need to do, what is emergency, what needs to be done tomorrow. And now, if it's not all done, what's on my list, I don't sweat it. Okay. I literally shut down my computer and I go out, you know, and I go and lay down. I also do, you know, meditation and listening to soft music, just so my mind can just, you know, relax. I do that, and I'm going to be joining a yoga class because, you know, I understand that, you know, a lot of people have had great results with yoga.
The whole meditation thing really needs to be explored further. So many of us disregard it, and I know this just because of the people I interact with in the health and wellness world.
Yes.
But there are extreme benefits to meditation.
Yes.
And it just absolutely has to be a part of your health and wellness regimen, not just the diet, not just the exercise, but really quieting the mind.
Yes.
We're just so addicted to thinking and achieving and getting those results. And it's all at the sacrifice of our health and well-being.
You're right. So one of the things that, you know, I mean, that was so interesting, as you know, I mean, I'm a social media buff. So I made a big deal and continue to do about my birthday. You know, I turned 50 last year.
March 9th, everyone. March 9th.
Yes. And then this year I'm 51 and I'm looking, you know, 21. So then, I'm a mature 21. But so the thing about it is diabetes is actually, you know, prevalent for people that are over 45.
Yeah.
So it's something that you need to be aware of as, you know, as we grow older.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, because there's two different types of diabetes. There's type 1
yes.
and then there's type 2. Which type were you diagnosed with?
Type 2. But then, you know what? Because of the insulin, the type 1 diabetes, right? So here's a quick difference of what they are. So type 1 diabetes, you know, they tell us that the body makes little or no insulin when you have type 1.
Okay.
Diabetes. So people with, you know, type 1 diabetes, you know, have to take insulin every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then type 2, they say, you know, the body prevents the insulin, you know, from working right. So it's making it, but then sometimes it's not working right in type 2 diabetes. So then most of the people with type 2 do not have to take insulin, but then some, like myself, I have to take it because then my levels were way too high and I hadn't managed it and didn't know about it.
Okay.
So now until they can level them, so there are very high chances that, you know, probably another, you know, 3-4 weeks I will be taken off from it because my levels have been really coming down and leveling out. And in, like I say, again, awareness, because now I know what I need to eat and I know the exercise levels and, you know, what I have to do to relax myself and cool myself down.
So it sounds like type 2 diabetes is reversible. Is that correct?
manageable.
It's manageable. Okay.
It's manageable to the extent where it might not end up being a type one. And stay a type two where you take, oral medications and maintain it.
Yeah. One of the things I want the audience too to understand is that type two diabetes has absolutely exploded over the last two decades.
Yes.
Absolutely exploded. And what used to be unheard of in children, type 2 diabetes, is now becoming more and more common. And, a lot of it is lifestyle. Is that correct? Am I right about that?
Lifestyle, and then some, with some of us, my mom is already diabetic, my brother is already diabetic, so some of it, too, is in our genes and DNA.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they also talk about, in the research, that the highest groups that get, diabetic, especially the type 2, are African Americans and Hispanics.
Oh, really?
Okay. And Hispanics.
I did not know that.
So that's very prevalent as well, and it's something that we need to take note of, especially all of us that are from those ethnic groups.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your how has this changed your life? How has this diagnosis changed your life?
How has it changed my? It slowed me down to the point where I can tell you I lost a lot of my energy that I had come here with for a minute, and it was all about I am diabetic, and I have friends that come to me and say, do not claim that you are diabetic and act as if now you are not able to do everything that you were supposed to do and that you're supposed to do. So. The more that you can manage it, the better it is. And now I understand as a social worker, knowledge is power. And again, awareness, mm-hmm. When you know and you're aware and you embrace, your situation, whether it's an illness, whether it's your situation, financial, situation or, your environment and work towards getting, out of that environment or that situation, that's the key. So then I started taking classes on what diabetes is and how to manage it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay, I got this. So now I swear I could close my eyes and just give myself a shot of that needle without even flinching or going, anything.
Oh, because look at that. No fear anymore. The needle, huh?
Nothing. The needle is my life.
Wow. Everything you want in your life is on the other side of fear. So you want health and wellness,
stare
that needle in the face, right? That needle is now your friend.
Wow. So, talk about, I know you said fearless is not a good word. One of my books that I'm working on and, definitely will bring it out next week, next year is Unstoppable, Living a Free and Fearless Life.
Yes.
And I wrote this book about a year ago. And each time I'm tweaking and changing the chapters and adding on some information. And I was wondering, because all the other books, I write it, give it to an editor, they edit it, and then boom, it's out. But this one, I have not been able to, get it out. And I understand why. Why now? Because when we're talking about being unstoppable and living a free and fearless life, you have to face a lot of things and changes, a lot of, that will come into your life. And yes, you're going to have to be fearless in a sense where you'll face the fear without, making it, stop you.
Well, I think what I hear you saying is, you're facing your fears, and then there are unknown fears that you didn't even know that you had fears around, that suddenly you have to take those basic principles that you speak about and really, bring it into the current experience.
And it's been okay to be vulnerable. You don't know it all. We are all experts in different things in our lives, but then when you are faced with situations like this year, I'm relying more on my nurse friends and, friends like you who are in the physical fitness to help me put it together so that, I can best manage, the diabetes.
I love that you say that because you spoke earlier about how you teach people and you speak about stress management. Yet at the same time, while this is your expertise, you were not necessarily managing your own stress in your own life.
Yes.
And stress can be very, you know, stress is a positive thing. If it's not chronic and it's all the time, it can motivate us and really push us to that next level. But when it's chronic and we aren't paying attention, it's kind of an accumulation. And then suddenly it becomes the diagnosis of diabetes or the diagnosis of cancer. Yes. Overwhelming stress can cause cancer. Many people don't understand that.
High blood pressure.
Absolutely. Okay. The list goes on and on and on. Yes. So stress is really a pervasive thing. And really what it's all about is integration. I think so often we try to balance everything in life. And I don't believe in balance. I don't think that there's ever balance. You know, it's almost like we're looking for this perfect level set in life. But it's really about integrating all the things that we know are important. Sometimes things are going to get out of balance, and that's fine. But it's integrating exercise, integrating good habits in diet, integrating stress management techniques like meditation, integrating all these facets that bring health and wellness. It can't just be one or the other, and life can't be out of whack because this is what happens.
Yeah. And you know what? I always tell the teenagers that I work with and the parents as well that it's not what happens to you that matters. Mm. It's how you manage it and how you respond to it and how you receive it that matters. So
absolutely.
Then your reaction is what at the end of the day will determine how you're going to deal with that situation.
Yeah. I always say it's not what happened to you. It's what happened for you. You needed this to be able to open your eyes to other areas in your life. And
yes.
And I've also felt that in life, you know, it's turning your messes into your message. And so I'm curious how much of your experience with this diagnosis will this inspire you to speak on and to kind of make this a part of your message? Will it change your message in terms of empowerment and encouragement to teens, parents, and women?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Because then, you know, I was focusing more on the mental health, you know, aspects of our lives, the way that we think, the way that we find what it is that we love in life and how not to control other people, but to try and look at ourselves first and, you know, build on ourselves. But now I see that, you know, it's very, very important and key to also look at our medical and take care of our, you know, health as far as the exercise and what we eating and how stress will impact, you know, our medical situations as well.
Our,
you know,
physical body, absolutely.
And physical body as well, yes.
Well, it's
yes.
interesting because in my journey and my fitness journey, one of the things that I recognized pretty quickly is that there was such an emphasis on body, but I realized, you know, we're not healthy unless we're focusing on the mind. So it's almost
mind
like yours.
Spirit,
so it's almost like yours was a little different, flip-flopped, but at the same time, you know, you make that realization that it is about your mind, it is about your body, and it's about what you just said, which I love. It's about your spirit and your soul inside.
Yes. It's I mean, you know, like I said, it's been a big life change, you know, for me. But the exciting thing about it is I got to do what my heart, you know, wanted. And I'm in a place where I can better manage this. If this had happened when I was in Boston, I can't even imagine, you know, how I would have taken it, even though all my family are there. I would have been surrounded by family. But my spirits and my heart were not there. So it would have been difficult for me to deal with it. Yeah, it would have been difficult for me to deal with it. So it's also important that we look at our lives and we see, you know, how we've been dealing with our lives. And are you happy with the way you are? Are you really doing the things that you love doing? Because sometimes we force ourselves into situations and stay in places and we're miserable. Mm-hmm. So if you're not happy, you know, being where you are, with who you are, with where you're working and what you're doing in your life, things like this are bound to happen because the stress level the body can take and the mind can take is only so much.
Yeah.
And then it comes to a point where everything breaks down and says, listen, change, because this is not working.
I believe believe as a culture, as a society overall, we have been conditioned to be doers. The busier we are, the more successful we are, the more driven we are, the more motivated we are. Do, achieve, achieve, achieve. And I know I'm very, very guilty of this. And I've learned, you know, the hard way, getting knocked on my knees, to really step back. And if you're not taking care of yourself, all of this achievement is going to be for naught, because you have nothing if you don't have your health and you don't have your wellness.
You're right. But I'm excited. It's a brand new start for me, as I say,
always.
Yeah. So, you know, with this brand new start is also a brand new way of looking at my life, and also be a person of influence. So it goes with exactly what I started by saying, that I like to live by example.
Yeah.
So that I can tell the people that, you know what, if I can do it, you can do it. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you as well. And, you know, the children that we're raising today, that's what they're looking at. It's not what you say. It's what you do. That they're looking at.
That's so true. And you know, the other thing that I love about your message is that you use this word, and I use it a lot, as vulnerability, is being vulnerable. Because so often, you know, when we're experts in a certain area, we want to show the world how expert we are by showing the perfection that we can present. And
exactly.
we are all at risk of, regardless of our backgrounds, our credentials, our education, we're all at risk. And so it is about taking your message, taking your experience, being vulnerable and sharing that so that people can not only hear your word, but also see that your actions are in alignment. And you know, life is all about pulling us in different directions to really wake us up to some of the areas where maybe we aren't being authentic, or maybe we aren't being fully aware of the areas where we need to change and bring our heart into it, rather than just living in our heads all the time.
Said it perfectly. Said it perfectly. Yeah, it's...
Preach it, Kelly. Preach it.
But then, you know what, once you do this and you manage the health, and, you know, I mean, like we say, the body, mind, and spirit, once you do that, you become unstoppable, because then you can get back on track, but now knowing what limits, you know, and everyone, as far as, you know, I mean, life in itself, or, you know, managing diabetes, as we are talking about today, each person is going to be different in the way that they manage it, in the way that they get treatment, in the way that, you know, I mean, it's either going to stay type 1 or type 2, or, you know, the medications that you'll be taking, the types of medications and everything. And that's why I think it's very important that people get health, you know, professionals that can manage, help them manage it, and help them know what types they have. Yeah. Even the foods, the way that they give us the foods, I have staple foods that I eat from Zimbabwe. It's called sadza. And, you know, we eat it with chicken. It's cornmeal that we just mix in the water and stuff. And that's my staple food. But then, do I want to stop eating that? You know, I had to consult with my physician. And then you have to eat that. And then 2 hours after that, you test yourself. If your levels are lower, then that means it's okay. But if they get higher, then that means, you know what, you're probably not going to be able to eat that staple food as much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but each person will be different.
Sure. No, absolutely. So November is Diabetes Awareness Month. What else? Do you have any other last-minute thoughts in terms of awareness and what the message is for this awesome month that's dedicated to just bringing awareness to this debilitating disease?
I learned that diabetes is called the silent killer.
Oh.
And when I heard that, it scared me, because here I was, as I said, a person of influence, and I did not know that there is a silent killer. I mean, if you ask me what a silent killer was, I would have told you it's cancer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have pointed diabetes at all, or high blood pressure, and high blood pressure as well. I wouldn't have pointed those two as silent killers. So I want the world to understand that you could be feeling good and everything is going well, and every now and then you're feeling as if, you know, I'm tired, or I'm eating too much, or I'm too, you know, maybe now I'm too fat, and I don't feel good. And people are like, oh my God, you've gained a little weight, and what's going on? Maybe it could be that those two silent killers are in you and they're silently eating away in your body. So what November say brings is for people to literally just walk in and say, give me a test, doctor, that, you know, can at least tell me what my levels are. There's also another level besides the you know, the sugar levels that they tested when I was in the hospital, and they called it A1C. And A1C is something that will test your blood sugars for the past 2-3 months and, you know, tell them a normal, you know, A1C level, I'm told, is about 6.5%. When you're eating right and exercising and everything is okay. Mm-hmm. I walked into that hospital and mine was 14.
Wow.
And everything was supposedly okay and I was driving. So those are silent things that I wouldn't have known if I didn't walk into the hospital and they take the A1C levels and then said, whoa, you are 14, which is double the normal that is there.
Wow.
And that's another reason why I'm taking the insulin, so that we can reduce and try to level the A1C. So those are things that no one would, you know, literally just know that it's happening to them. So if you're like me, especially for professionals that are out there that are hardworking professionals like you and I, we go, driven by, you know, the changes that we are seeing in other people and getting excited because we are being of impact and everything. And yet, we do have to take a step back and take care of ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and you know, bringing attention to diabetes awareness. Are there any websites or places that you found information for people who might feel like they are silently experiencing this?
There are lots of groups that I found, and you know what I can suggest to people is what I do every day is to just put in diabetes and you know, or in Google. You can just put diabetes, you know, management, diabetes symptoms, diabetes type 1, diabetes type 2, and they have tons of information around. But the other thing is most of the hospitals and clinics around, you know, the United States, they do have classes that people can take on learning about diabetes. And usually, guess what? These classes are recommended for people that have been diagnosed with diabetes. But I think people that haven't been diagnosed with diabetes need to take those classes so that you're aware of what to avoid and you know what it is that you need to know. Because then the one I'm attending now is 10 people, and you know that are in there. And I'm thinking, do you know how many people need to hear this information? Because it's about the symptoms and how to manage it and how to prevent yourself from being, you know, diabetic.
Well,
so I recommend people attend those classes as well.
I love that preventiveness. You know, I feel like sometimes in life we're so reactive and we wait until it's too late, and then it's, you know, what about being proactive and avoiding ever having to deal with something like this? Because I assume it knocked you on your knees and it wasn't a pleasant situation or circumstance to deal with. So if we can prevent it by educating ourselves and I love Google and I love going on to WebMD, but don't self-diagnose. If you feel like you're experiencing any of these symptoms, extreme thirst, frequent urination, drowsiness, increased appetite, sudden weight loss, vision changes, go to a doctor immediately, because you definitely do not want to experience, what did you call it? The coma, diabetic coma.
Diabetic coma,
Which is just very scary, very scary. Any last thoughts or words on the issue of diabetes, Dr. Stem Life Plus?
I'm also recommending for all my fellow social workers out there, any coaches, whether you're a life coach, career coach, and, you know, speaker, motivational speakers out there, my nurses out there, to do some free educational trainings, seminars, speak to the people that people can know what, you know, what these silent killer, they don't need to be silent. They're only silent because we are not going out and educating each other. About what's out there, and you know, and you know, being ignorant about it. So go into the churches, you know, set up at your house, and you know, get flyers and give out brochures, because they have them at the hospitals. Grab a bunch and put them in your office if you're a licensed therapist like myself in your office, and let people grab them, especially during this month and months after that, so that people are aware of the silent killers. They don't need to be silent if we we teach each other and talk about them and be proactive, as we spoke about, so that we can prevent, situations like what happened to me.
I absolutely love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I want to make sure that our audience can find you so that, you know, whether it's diabetes, whether it's passion, empowerment, teens, parents, women for that matter, because your message is so powerful, as everyone can hear your energy and your passion for others, and you're giving back and just so where do people find you if they are interested in getting some more Dr. STEM?
Yeah, so for those of you that have seminars, conferences, and you need a speaker, I'm also a motivational speaker or a keynote speaker. And I also do life coaching, career coaching, and counseling over the phone, Skype, and in my office in the Orlando area. You can email me at drstem14@gmail.com. That is drstem14@gmail.com. And also you can look at my work on my website, Dr. STEM Speaks at drstemspeaks.com. I'm going at like I'm doing a Gmail. I also have videos that you can watch on YouTube. You can just type in one word, DRSTEM, and you'll be able to see some videos where I'm teaching or speaking to guests, because I work mostly with teenagers and parents and women. Bridging the gap is what I call my programs, because we want to bridge the gap between teenagers and adults.
I love it. I love it. Well, your website has some great videos as well. And I'm a mother of a teen, so I've been listening and I just admire so much of your work. We do need to bridge the gap. Life is hard. It's difficult, but it doesn't have to be. If we align ourselves with people like yourself, and I always say it takes a village, you know, we just need.
It sure does.
Takes a village. So I want to say thank you. And, you know, I saw on your website that your motto is give up, give in, or give it your all. And you're definitely not giving up, and you haven't given in. You are giving it your all, girl. But don't forget. In giving it your all, that you take care of yourself. Yes. You meditate, you exercise, you watch your diet and what you're eating. Drink water. And I just want to say to you, thank you so much. You are life plus passion, baby. And I am so happy to call you not only a friend, but a colleague, and I look forward to our next conversation around passion or whatever it might be. We have a million and one different things that we can share with the world, because my hope is that we inspire and motivate people to get out of what I like to call stuck in suck, and it's just another way for the comfort zone. We get so used to living life in a comfort zone, and that's not how God intended us to live. We're here for one another. So thank you, my love. You are just everything that the world needs, and I look forward to our next interaction.
Life is what you make it. As I always say, be encouraged and encouraging. Thanks, Kelly.
Love, love, love. Big
love, hugs. Love, love. Thank you.